Hey guys, we just had a very good conversation about entrepreneurships and what it actually involves in sacrifices and problems and negativity and so many things. So really hope that this conversation will bring some light into understanding what it is really to be an entrepreneur. It would mean the world to me if you would actually comment if it's on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram or wherever it is, and bring your feedback and ask questions. So enjoy and let me know.
What is going on, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in. We have an awesome conversation lined up today. I'm so excited to actually talk about what it really means to be an entrepreneur. You know, when I was Googling and researching what entrepreneur is, it's funny enough, you get all these characteristics, these words about freedom, flexibility, money, success, power. But what does it really mean to be an entrepreneur? So today I'm sitting with the co-founder of Simply PHP, Raf, to actually talk to us about what it means in his world to be an entrepreneur. And he's been doing this for a long time. So I'm really excited to ask Raf really what it means to be an entrepreneur and help you guys out if you are looking to be an entrepreneur, to grow your entrepreneurial mindset, anything to do with that. So without further ado, Raf, how's it going?
Hi, Kyler. Well, what it really means to be an Olympian? You know, it's the same thing. To me, it's the same thing. Doesn't mean I'm right, but to me, it's the same thing. You work your ass off for a long period of time to maybe get on the podium. Maybe. Not sure. But you will work your ass off.
And that takes a long time, right? Like, Olympians, they train since they're kids in order to get to the Olympics. Yeah, it's almost 15, 20 years, right? Yep.
Exactly. So there's a lot of misconception about being an entrepreneur. There's a lot of fake entrepreneur. There's a lot of people that would like to be an entrepreneur, but they cannot be, you know. So there's a lot to talk there. You know, I hate talking about me like being like I did and I'm nothing special. I just had a different path. Mm-hmm. Than someone else. So I'm going to use some I, although I hate it, but I have to for the sake of this conversation.
Well, you can only talk about your own experience, right?
Well, that's it. Yeah. And there's a thing that bothers me whenever I hear successful people talking about being an entrepreneur, whether they're going to say you need to work 7 days a week, 18 hours a day for the next 10 years of your life, and maybe you're going to get some result. It's true and not true. It's kind of half true. I like to bring some context to those saying and those points because they're valid, but they need some context to it. That's what I want to bring up in this conversation.
So you talked about fake entrepreneurship, and I think that's, you know, that's a lot of people say in their Instagram, LinkedIn bio.
Exactly.
Entrepreneur.
Well, the option is there on your profile. You can select your role being an entrepreneur. So you're an influencer, or you're just starting to be an influencer, and you call yourself an entrepreneur.
And I was one of them. At 18, I put that in my bio. I did. I wanted to be it, and I would say I was a fake entrepreneur. I wasn't really. I was working for a company, but it's something that I wanted to be.
And honestly, I'm not judging that because it's attractive. It's normal. We want to look significant. We want to show the people that we are someone. It's okay. Like Gary Vee said many times, like he grew up social networks, you know, so being an entrepreneur was at core being an entrepreneur. When I first opened or started my very first business at 16, there was no such thing as social media. And the only people that would be looking at me were my family, my parents looking at me like, what the fuck he's doing? But yeah, I just wanted to do it, and it comes naturally. It's not something that you can surely learn to be an entrepreneur. You can surely learn how to operate a business, start a business. But even that is different from being an entrepreneur or being a business operator. It also that is different. You know, it doesn't mean the same thing. So we tend to put everything together as being entrepreneur, but being a good operator or a good manager doesn't make you a good entrepreneur. You know, so an entrepreneur for me is someone that cannot work for someone else and has to start businesses, has to build. So I'm in this business for a long time, right? Eventually something's going to happen and I'm going to want to create something else. That's probably what makes me be an entrepreneur. Also the fact that at 5 or 6 years old, I was already telling my mom, apparently my mom told me that, that I would be a boss. You know, she's
oh wow.
So it's in the DNA. To me, it's in the DNA, but you can learn it later on. So yeah.
Are freelancers entrepreneurs? Would you say, because that's a different word of saying it, or are they kind of two different things, do you think?
They're freelancers. Freelancers are freelancers. Business operators are business operators. There's some great, I mean, you don't have to be an entrepreneur to be someone. There's awesome managers like that are, I mean, who are way better managers than their business owners, but would be a super bad at business owners. I mean, at business, owning a business. The same thing is, you know, there's, we call it the Peter, I think it's Peter syndrome, which says that everyone can, is it the Peter syndrome? I need to find it. But it's, and when we find it, put it on a caption or something like that. But it basically says that everyone can reach their level of incompetency or something like that, being an incompetent. So if you're great at something, doesn't mean you're going to be great at the next level. You know, so some managers are awesome, are great, and they get promoted and then they suck big time. That's life. You know, I would probably suck being a VP in a public company because I would be too impatient. I would be like...
So much red tape.
I can't. I'm impatient naturally. So that's me. What can I do, right?
So entrepreneurship is in their DNA. It's something like you can't... You've worked for people before, though, yeah. haven't you?
Not many times, though.
Not many times.
Yeah, I did. My first job was at 17. My real first job, and I was changing summer and winter tires in a garage. And... that was interesting, but that was not really for me. Then I worked in a gas station for 3 years, which I enjoyed because I had a boss that actually trusted me. And he would, whenever he would leave the place or go on a vacation, I would have the key to the safe and he would trust me to that level. So I could manage the place, right? So I started to learn very early how to manage it. Although my first business was at 16. Small business, you're going to say, for sure. But yeah, I always kind of put myself in jobs where I could be free to do whatever I wanted and learn at the same time. So I did 3 years in a gas station. Then I did a full year in a warehouse of a store that sells, computers and photocopiers and things like that and I was attracted by the position because they actually had someone that put the mess, you know, in the warehouse. So I got there like a saver and I cleaned the whole thing. And at the end of the year, the boss came to see me that I made them save over 25 grand and, you know, like,
damn.
So, and then, then I wanted, and then I reached my level of being an incompetent when I got promoted as a sales guy that had fucking nothing to do with what I was doing, but there was an opening and I wanted. For me, at that point, I was only focusing on financial. I was making $9 an hour there in the warehouse. And I had already a baby. So I'm like, okay, you know, I can probably make more being a sales guy. And I'm extremely, I was extremely introvert. So that didn't suit me very well. And I did suck big time at that job. You know, and
you learned quickly there.
I did 6 months winning this, and I managed to get fired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't want to leave, so I figured out a way to get fired. I know that's bad what I'm saying, but I wanted to get fired and then have an opportunity maybe to go to the university in computer science and try to learn more there. mm-hmm. which also I disliked. But yeah.
So you had to try different things. Like what I've noticed with a lot of entrepreneurs, because I watch a lot of content, is they had to go through those downs. They had to get fired from jobs. They had businesses that failed before. I mean, Gary Vee talks about it. Elon Musk. Yeah. Any entrepreneur can look at.
The best examples. Example is, I don't have the details the exact detail, but if you look at Kevin O'Leary, the shark, from Shark Tank. He's from Montreal, and at some point when he was young, he got fired. He was so disgusted by what the boss would ask him to do, in a ice cream store or something like that. That's when he decided that he will never work for someone again.
Oh wow!
And he's still thanking that woman, I think, as of today, and he's probably near 60 years old. You know.
Wow.
So we all have that story. And to me, that kind of happened too, because I wanted to be fired and the opportunity kind of showed up because I had a goal to sell 50 grand a month at that position. And one month I sold 48 and the boss called me in to give me shit. And I'm like, really? All right. So I went to, the university. I subscribed. I came back with my registration letter, whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I said,
yeah,
in 6 months, I'm going back to the university.
Mm.
And they said, all right, bye. You know, so I got fired. I don't think I ever told that story to anyone.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so that's how it happened to me.
Wow. So what can people do? So you've mentioned a lot about what a real entrepreneur is.
Yeah.
What can someone do to identify themselves? How can they apply self-awareness to know if they are or are not?
Well, first you need to know, like, have you kind of been a go-getter most of your life? Like, have you most of the time dreamed about building something? You know, then it's a good indication.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that if you didn't think about that when you were 10 years old that you suck and you will never be a good entrepreneur. That doesn't mean that. But being an entrepreneur is it's something. You need to see it as being an Olympian. It's very similar for many reasons. First off, depending on your goal, like we were saying, an Olympian trains for years, decades, and eventually maybe they're going to get a podium. A lot of the time what happens when they get on the podium, they get into a depression after they win.
Or come third place or something. Yeah.
First, second, third place, whatever happens, they get into a depression. Why? I don't have all the answers, but one of them is because they focus on that goal for the past 10, 15, 20 years. They reached it, but they did it. They were not prepared of at what's after.
Mm.
And then you become meaningless. Like you become no purpose. You don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah, you almost lost yourself.
Yep.
Almost, because that was such a big part of your life.
Yeah. And there's a big, there's big strongman competitions in the world. So there's a guy local here, name is Hugo Girard. Okay. He's a massive 6'4", 6'5". And I remember watching an interview with him and he said that when he won the Hawaii championship, he said, look at the video, look at when I'm on the podium and you're going to see my face. It tells everything. Because he said, I got on the first step. And it's exactly at that moment that he was like, that's just that? Is it just it, you know?
Yeah, the moment passes so fast.
Like he was expecting the feeling to be so awesome. But he's like, that's it. Plus, I'm not happy. I thought I'd give my 100%. I did not. And I still won. That's it. And that was a rough ride after. So the kind of the same thing happened with me. Because So after working for a couple years in this place, and then I went to the university where I completely disliked it because I had completely incompetent teachers besides one, where I even had to write tutorials for the class. It's fucked up, okay? Mm. So I've not been very spoiled at university. Mm-hmm. And financially, for financial reasons, I had to stop. And then I got introduced to someone that, again, put me in a position where I would be managing the whole thing. Mm. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you a hand. Let's go. And you give me a hand. But, yeah, and my problem, and I, you know, obviously I don't regret having kids, right? The only bad, there's good sides and there's bad sides of that. The good side is I'm almost 43 and my daughter's almost 21. So that's good, you know? You know, she, in 20 years, she's going to be my age and I'm going to be just 60, 61, 62, you know? That's cool.
Nice, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's a good side. The bad side is you're not prepared. You're not ready for kids. You're not mentally, you're not financially, you're not educated enough. You're going to do stupid shit. So when we got our first kid, my whole, mindset had to switch and I had to focus on making a living that makes sense and kind of try to put my family in a financial security situation.
Yeah.
So I've been focusing on financial and only financial for many years,
mm-hmm.
like an Olympian.
Like a financial goal.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So when I started to work with this person, I was making barely 24K a year and I was still managing the company. Then I negotiated to 32, then to 40, then to 80 over a 5-6 years.
Time period.
Yeah. But all the time I had this goal, when I make this amount of money. And every time that was never enough, right? And you're having a new goal. And I'm still not a millionaire, right? Just for the record.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure I'm not, you know? but, you know, the thing is I remember one day where finally my financials were getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving to the office and it hit me in the face. Like I remember exactly where I was.
That you reached that goal.
No. Oh. I remember exactly where I was driving,
mm-hmm.
coming to the office, and it hit me.
Mm.
Is it just it? Like that feeling of, and I was still not making like, you know, a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I had reached my goal that I wanted. Right.
Right. Right.
And from there, it took 3 years maybe. To figure out new purpose, a new purpose, new goals, figure out what else can excite me. I had many conversations with many different people, tried to get help. It's difficult as fuck. It's not simple. So, and the problem is that you envision what it's going to be when you reach something or when you achieve certain goal, and it's never how you imagine it.
Yeah,
it and it
is.
Never be. It's never, never going to be. So you need to lower your expectation. And one of the things that you need to do is enjoy the process during, which I completely ignored.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, until this happened, I completely ignored enjoying the process. I was just
a
robot.
So obsessed with the goal that we forget it, right?
With the goal, and I was working my ass off to make shit work so eventually I can bring some type of financial security to my family.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there for everyone else but me. Pure robot. And yeah, that's why you see me like for the past year just coming in a little bit later sometime and leaving a little bit earlier in the afternoon because I decided to put me also part of the equation, you know?
After 10, 15 years of putting everyone else, you know, on the pedestal for yourself, yeah. Now you're switching gears. And I think that is a benefit of being an entrepreneur, being your own boss, is that after you put in the work, after you've done the marathon, you become the Olympian, like you have the freedom to do those things. But what people don't understand, like you said, is that they don't realize how much work, how much sacrifice it takes to get there. Now, you said earlier, you know, don't work 7 days, 24/7,
because
you'll burn out. No one's going to be able to work that much. Yeah. But there is a bit of a hustle, right?
Oh, for sure. Well, look at Olympians again. They're going to be working out 10, 15, 20 years. They might get on the podium, and many of them are not making money after, or they're not being sponsored, or, you know, there's not so many Michael Phelps in the world.
You know? Like, how many Olympians do you know? Maybe six off the top of my head, maybe, that I know about. And there's every year, you know, well, almost every year, I mean, there's more, right?
Yeah, and not all of them are, even if you finish first, doesn't mean you're going to make a lot of money after. So for them, they have to renew themselves, put aside everything they've done. They feel idiot because they don't know anything else. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. It's fucked up. It's really fucked up. So, you know, you can't envy someone's success if you're not envying someone's failures.
I like that. I like that. You can't envy someone's success if you don't envy their failures.
Yeah.
Or their work, right?
And it comes with it. You know, the amount of times that people talk to me, I mean, I talk with them and I say, oh, you know, now, and I feel that I have to justify that nowadays, you know, I'm slowing a little bit.
Or justify your work ethic now?
Yeah. Yeah. I almost feel that I have to justify that sometime I might work 6 hours during the day, mm-hmm. you know? And then I go to the gym and then I go back home and I'm going to go on my gaming stream and, like, I feel that I have just to justify. And sometimes the answer is, yeah, but you look at you now. Mm-hmm. No. Not look at me now. Look at me. If you want to look at me now, you need to look at my past 15 years.
Just like Olympian, right?
Yeah.
The strongest man alive wasn't born.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he was born a little bit big, but he wasn't born with huge muscles. Of course not.
And being an entrepreneur is hard as hell, as fuck. There's not enough word to describe that. There's not enough. And so whenever someone says that being an entrepreneur is super hard, you need to give 10 years of your life minimum to potentially make some type of good money and have some type of freedom, which is true, but let's put some context into it. I'm not like, no one's gonna cry about me, right?
No.
I'm just gonna share my own experience. There's many things that makes it so hard. Well, first, when I had my first business at 16, and I had to make calls to banks and data centers to negotiate deals, and you have a 16 years old kid on the, like, how do you know?
Yeah, I would be scared shitless, to be honest. Well, I couldn't do it.
And I'm introvert like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm shy, super shy. You know, I could never, when I was young, like, go to a girl and say that I just like her. You know, I could never do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and now I have to figure this shit out. You know? Mm-hmm. So already that, it's super hard. Then I had a second business at 19. I forgot to say that. I opened a computer shop. So I was repairing computers and selling some parts, and which I did not really enjoy. But anyway, that's a different story.
But it's all learning, right? Like,
yeah.
Everything you're saying, you know, people always look at the end result of entrepreneurs, right? The jets, the fast cars, the money, the free, oh, I worked only 4 hours today.
You know how much money you need to make in Canada only to be in the top 1%?
What
it's $227,000 a year.
Really?
That's it. So if someone is making over 200K a year, he's the top 1% Canadian.
Wow.
It's low.
That is, yeah. I thought it would be like at least a million. Maybe in the high.
No, in the US, I think it's about 450-ish.
So not even half a million.
Not even half. 1%. Not even half a million.
So that means 99%, right, is in the like 40 to 80 range, maybe less.
Yep.
Jeez.
So
we're doing okay.
So what you just said, yeah, and what you just said about jets and Lamborghinis and. You're talking about the 0.01% of the people.
Yeah, not even 1%. The 0.01.
The 0.0 something. So, you know, I could never buy a Lamborghini and a jet. You know, to buy a jet, you need to be making like 50, 40, 50 million or something like that. Like, it costs a fortune. Just the jets itself is going to cost you $4, $5, $6 million. And managing it, paying the staff, it's crazy.
But that's what people think, eh? Like, when you look at social media, and I'll admit it, I was one of them. Not so much the jet, more the cars. But because, I think people know jets are expensive there. Well, but nice car, you know, working 4 hours a day, but raking in the money, you're powerful. Like, they always look at the result.
They show what they want to show. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my goal with my content, is I want to show the truth. I want to have real talk. It's not going to be popular. Mm-hmm. It's not going to grab attention as much as look at the car that I have.
The fast cash schemes, you know.
Could I buy a $2 million house? Probably. Do I want that weight on my shoulder? Probably not. You know? I don't want that. I don't want debts anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, could I have a $150,000 car? Probably. But I'm happy with my truck. Could I have, you know, and I'm happy with my small house. And, you know, like, years ago, I decided that I would not flash whatsoever what I could have. Because here's the thing. On social media, having cars, having boats, having a big house, this is super easy. Mm-hmm. Go to the bank, get finance, sign the paper, and you can have that picture.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So
rake up a bunch of debt, but it's true. You could have that, aka life.
If someone tried to look like rich and doesn't have $100,000 in his bank account, he's not better than you and I and someone else, you know?
The amount of people I know that I won't mention that have a really nice car. Yeah. And like, I mean, really nice car. Not Lamborghini nice, but like up there, but then live at their parents' house, right? And I'm in my late 20s.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where they're spending their money on,
that's
right?
It.
It's all the outside look. And I like certain things. I like to look good, dress nice, fancy watches. I like those things. But I think it comes to what you said earlier is I could buy the car, mm-hmm. but I'd rather get camera equipment or things that bring me more happiness than camera equipment's expensive. It's, and you know, that's another, that's a niche within myself, but people flash their camera gear as, oh, look at me. But reality is you can do so much with just
the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
Not to get off topic, but that's what it is. It's flashing whatever niche you might be. Right.
It is. So, you know, being an entrepreneur, if you really want to go that route and be one, and I mean like start a first business that eventually either pass it on to someone else, sell it, whatever, and then you open a new one, that's something else. Not just I want to open a business because it's my passion and I want to operate it. That's different. That's totally different. That's not being an entrepreneur, you know. Mm. I think you can be called an entrepreneur after you open your second business, in my opinion, you know?
So do you think that if people want to be an entrepreneur, they should plan to fail in the sense that like building a business is like having a baby, right? Yeah. It's you're making something out of nothing, right? You are creating it and you're building it and you're putting time and energy and money and effort and sweat and blood and tears, right?
Yep.
So is it like, should we be planning for that to fail
What's your goal? You plan, what's your goal? What do you want out of that business? When I started it first, I mean, 16 years ago, I mean, not really started it, but I kind of built it.
Yeah,
before we,
I know what you mean. Yeah,
before
we
acquire it, you know, it was purely financial, which is wrong to me. Having a financial goal to build a business, it's totally wrong. You should never start a business with the goal of making money, only making money. Making money is part of the equation, 100%, but it should not be the main purpose of it.
Why is that?
Because you're just going to be unhappy.
You always want more, right?
No, it's by focusing only on the money and not solving a problem, serving clients, you know, like you're not enjoying the process. You're just focusing on making money, and there's nothing more miserable than just making money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making, it's cool, but okay, let's picture it this way. would you do any type of job in the world if you would be making $1 million a year? Any type.
No.
Even if you had to go in the sewers and clean with your hands and, like, I mean, money cannot buy everything.
No, there's a limit.
For a certain period of time, maybe you're going to, okay, I'm going to give a try. But if I tell you, like, we're going to cut the toe of someone and you're going to eat it one toe a day for $1 million a year, obviously you won't do it. I know it's terrible what I'm saying, but...
No, but it's an extreme example to make a point.
Yeah.
And it's a good point that we all have... You know, some people might be watching or listening and think, oh, no, I would clean the sewers for $1 million, but maybe not the toe thing, right? Like, we all have
but
limits.
But you would be unhappy.
Yes.
You would have 100%. All the money in the world, but you would be extremely unhappy. You know, we saw many people being, extremely rich, but still committed suicide. Like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Money doesn't bring you happiness. It helps. It can help you make things easier, but doesn't make you happier. And
I like that.
It's but it does make things easier. Like, don't take me wrong. Like,
well, the world it's around money, right? It evolves around money. So of course, it makes things a lot easier. Yeah. But I see what you're saying. But it's a good point.
But the other point about if you're doing only for the money is when it gets difficult. Especially if you made enough money, you might get it in a situation where you're going to be, okay, shits are being extremely hard right now. I have enough money. Should I just give up? An entrepreneur will never give up based on that question. It never. It doesn't make any sense to give up. The only moment an entrepreneur is going to give up is when he sells. When he has relief, like someone, his kid or whatever, he's gonna pass on the business to someone else, but he's never gonna just say fuck it, you know. Unless there's no point that the business is gonna succeed or it's a failure, and at some point you need to be smart enough to say, okay, I need to give up on this one and get to the next one.
And it's not giving up; it's just making a decision to close that idea and start a new one.
Yeah, and people are afraid of failure. You know, to look like they failed. I did so many failures. Like, there's many things we're not talking about that where I did fail. And there's hundreds of them, you know. It's part of it. There was someone saying that having a successful business is because you had enough money to cover all the mistakes that you did. You know, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. It's true. If you have a successful business, it's because you've been able to pass through all the failures and stupid shit that you did.
Because there's no real education for entrepreneurship other than entrepreneurship.
Well, you're 28, 29, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say 3 years ago, four years ago, I would have told you, okay, my friend Kyler, so we're building this business and this guy's not working out. Go tell him he's fired.
I'd be scared shitless. I'd be scared still right now. But
happened to me. That's exactly what happened to me.
God.
And I was just this dude making 24K a year. And I was in this office in St. Leonard. And we had a guy that we didn't like. One of the first employees ever of the company. And he didn't want to handle it. And he looked at me, go figure out. And at that point, I remember, because I've learned very early... in my life that whenever you have something hard to do, you don't think and you act right away, you know?
So you just do it.
I left the office. I said, hey, come see. It doesn't work out. Sorry.
Wow. See, like, that probably scared anyone watching.
Oh, I was scared.
I was scared.
But you know what? I could have lived it 20 times in my head before doing it.
Overthink it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, what if he says this? Whatever.
And I think, honestly, that it's kind of survival mode that switched in my head at that moment, because that's exactly what happened. I didn't think and I just did it.
Well, that's a good, you know, it's a good lesson, because I've learned so much from just doing, You know, like Google has been my best friend growing up.
Yep.
I've taught myself this craft on my own through no education, formal education.
Yep. So, but you know what? Now let's talk about what it is to be an entrepreneur. And when I say that, you cannot just envy the result at the end. You need to enjoy the try to envy the process of that person.
Enjoy the failures.
And all the sacrifice that this person did. Let's talk about a few sacrifices that I did. First off, I'm 24, 25. So I landed in Montreal. I landed in Montreal, end of Montreal 2004, but I was working on it for 2 years already. So and 23. My math's not very good.
But you're in mid-20s, right? You were saying?
No, earlier than that.
Earlier
actually
than that.
Actually, in 2004, I was 26.
Okay.
So we opened the office and I was 26. The way I was seeing it is I was the resourceful guy and the kind of jack of all trades, so I would figure out shit. Open the office, renovation, networking, and all of that crap, I would handle that. So although I kind of didn't want to work for someone else again, I did it and I was fine with it because I knew I would learn a lot for the next years to come. Because I was the only one with some management capabilities.
Mm.
So I said, okay. So we opened this. First week, actually, before we find the office, like I've rent a car. We did 3,000 kilometers in Montreal just driving, visiting offices.
Oh, my God.
You know? And I'm 26. Let's go visit that place. And then you see this 65-year-old managers that look at you like you're a kid and what the fuck you...
Yeah, of course.
You're wasting my time.
And yeah, yeah.
So all this rejection, you're gonna you have to go through that.
Yeah.
Then you're extremely inexperienced. So whatever you do with your new first employees, you're going to fuck up a lot. You're going to be hate. People are going to do mean things to you, which happened to me.
Doesn't sound so pleasant anymore.
Oh, it's not pleasant whatsoever. Like, try to picture this. In 2006, we had to go prospect something in Japan. Great. I'm traveling to Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I landed there, my boss, I had an email from him saying that I was accused of stupid shit in the office. And I just landed there for 2 weeks. And I could not defend myself. And at the end, I was all bullshit. But the people at the time, and I'm not mad at them, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I give up. I mean, I passed on, I forgive them and whatever.
Of course.
But as soon as I landed there and I had this email saying that I was accused of blah and I did this to that person, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm not a mean person in life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but now I had 2 weeks to deal with that.
In Japan.
In Japan, in 15,000 kilometers from here and no fast internet and, you know?
Yeah.
So to no chance to do, you know, to defend myself. So first, this is one of the situations that was hard, super hard. Did I learn from it? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone's try to envy me like leaving the office at 2:30 in the afternoon, then you're going to have to enjoy that moment of my life too. You're going to have to enjoy the fact that I did not spend so much time with my daughter, with my son. You're going to have to enjoy the fact that I've been years without a vacation,
mm-hmm.
That I've been working 7 days a week, 15 to 18 hours a day for many, many, many years that I could not even have sex for months, you know? Like, you're going to have to go through the whole thing, man.
Yeah.
The whole thing that I got fat as fuck.
Yeah.
I was 60 pounds over that, over now. And you have to enjoy the whole process, man, because...
Would you change anything?
It's almost an impossible question to answer because... Wanting to change something with my 43 years old mindset,
mm-hmm.
It's easy. But when I was 20, there's many things I didn't know. So which probably going to lead like soon to another conversation, another podcast that I'm going to have about my 20 years old self-advice or something like that. But I cannot change the past.
Yeah.
Like the post of today of on Simply PHP saying that you can only focus on your current bread, not the past bread, not the next bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I cannot change the past. So it's an impossible question to answer. Do I have regrets? 100%. You know, I do. Would I change if I could restart again and tell, if I could go back in the past, like I have a machine, travel the past, mm-hmm. go see my 20 years old stupid dude. And I would tell him many things, mm-hmm. many, many things.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's almost an impossible question to answer.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying this to basically say that if you envy someone's situation today, you need to understand that it's 10, 15 years of pain and sacrifices
mm-hmm.
that you probably will never be able to live and go through.
Yeah.
Like if I tell you you're going to live on pennies for the next 10 years, all the time you're spending with your fiancé and stepdaughter, forget about that. You need to put this aside because now you're going to focus on building your business. She's going to get mad at you. Your stepdaughter is sometimes going to tell you, I don't see you anymore. What's mm-hmm. happening? I know, but I have to focus on, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're going to be rejected hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And you're going to be surrounded with negativity. Then you're going to try to hire the wrong people.
Yeah.
That will actually try to not be fired and try to change your mind, and then you're gonna be at night like, what the fuck am I saying? And what the fuck am I doing now? Like, should I actually listen to this guy or not?
Mm.
Or one day things are not gonna go so well, like it happened to me in 2008 or 2009, and I had to let go half of the company, and I had a couple days to ruminate this in my mind, not sleep at night. How am I gonna tell them that? You know?
Yeah.
And one day as a 29, 30 years old guy, I get to your age right now, you come to the company and say, hey guys, please come in. You have 35, 36 employees. Recessions, guys, it's too hard and we have to let a lot of people to go. And I'm sorry, but
mm-hmm.
you're going to be called.
Yeah. It's tough.
All of this, man, it's almost an impossible mission. So you better not know actually. If you want to be an entrepreneur, don't think and just go. But promise yourself that you won't give up, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a great way to end this conversation. And while you're saying this, Raf, I just pictured like the iceberg, you know, where the top of the iceberg, just like in the Titanic, doesn't look like much, but below the water, below is all the hard work, all the rejection, all the mistakes, everything you just mentioned is all that lead up to just you poking out of the water.
Yeah.
Just a little, that's it. And you're so right, right? And anyone listening or watching right now, I think it's a great way to understand the truth about entrepreneurship. And I bet you a lot of entrepreneurs are going to comment and say, yep, 100%. Oh, what about this? Forgot about this. We didn't even mention it all.
I'm sure my path is probably not the worst that many entrepreneurs had to go through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've been that kind of lucky because I've been able to figure out ways to get out of the problem most of the times.
Right.
I ended up encountering the right people who helped me. It's super not easy, man. Like, You need to like shit a lot. You really need to like troubles.
When I Googled entrepreneurship, all those things I said were the first things.
Yeah.
And then it was like this, I think the eighth or ninth one said failure, right? Oh. They should put, like you said, shit. Like
I think there's a stats that says that 90% of all businesses dies within 5 years.
Even sooner, I think now. I think it's like possible. Could be even less than 5 years.
But yeah, I mean, there's a few, there's different scenario. Of building businesses. Like, it's true. Like, I wanted to just clarify that too. It's true that you need to work 14, 16, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you start a business from scratch, when you have no money to start it, because you need to do everything, right?
There's a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work.
But I have to say that if eventually I start a new business after this one, that I'm assuming that there would be some capital already there, and which would probably make me not have to work that much.
Yeah.
Because right away you would get the right person to do a certain type of job and another person.
You don't have to do everything yourself, right?
Exactly.
As you've learned,
yeah,
that you can't be everything.
Exactly.
You can't.
Yeah. So really I see three scenarios about building businesses. One, you do it from scratch, you work 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, no choice. No choice. If you don't do that, you're just working your way out, your way in failing or something like that. The other one is you have the money injected, whether it's your own capital or you got some financing, that helps because you can hire the right people right away. Or you got venture capital, fundraising or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes with a lot of different problems. I could never do that personally. I could never in the world start a business that got funded, like 100 millions funded from different investors. I could never fucking do that in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Mm-hmm. It's too much trouble. You know, getting ready for the meeting, the board meeting, and you know, working.
Well, you're still working for someone else, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like you're, because then you're answering like how you're gonna repay this money with a ROI, with a like five to ten x ROI, and you have to prove it.
Every
right?
quarter, you need to work a full week on getting prepared, getting ready for that meeting, and no.
So it'd be better just to work for a company.
Yeah.
You know, at that point.
Yeah. I mean, Gary Vee says it all the time. Like you can do very well if you take Facebook as an example. The first 15 or 50 employees are all millionaires today.
Yeah, yeah.
So pick the right company. It's simple as that. Mm-hmm. The right company for your right personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people in this company that will do very well eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I see that twinkle in your eye when you look at me when you said that.
So I mean, you need to. Yeah, it's you don't have to have a business to get a certain type of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to.
Yeah,
you know, you need to solve a problem. If someone start a business, you just need to solve a problem, and bigger the problem is, better the returns are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not all full of butterflies and rainbow, you know, starting
like
company.
They say in the movies, you know.
Yeah, it's not that. It's think about how bad it is. Try to picture yourself in suffering and sacrificing and how bad it is to be an entrepreneur and multiply it by 10. And I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
You're going to go through. If you could talk with 10, 50 successful entrepreneurs, they would all tell you the bad stories that happened to them. And tell them, believe me, there's tons.
It's out there. Just YouTube. Just go watch it for yourself. There's TED Talks. There's interviews. There's other podcasts.
Yeah.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, 10... If you're going to envy someone's success, I mean an entrepreneur's success, you need to envy the past 10 years of sacrifice that this person went through and understand it. Although you never lived it, mm-hmm. that might be hard to imagine it, but that's why I'm saying, you know, time tens,
mm-hmm.
the feeling that you're getting, you know.
Is there anything else you want to touch on before we kind of wrap up this conversation?
Let me check my notes quickly.
But honestly, Raph, it's been such a good conversation to have because so many people talk about this and don't always share the truth about it. You know, they give the sunshine and rainbows and they sell them on their courses. And listen, some people out there are really authentic and they actually are bringing value.
Yeah.
But I get ads all the time of like people that are just trying to take my
money. There's people sometimes that don't understand being an entrepreneur. And they want to make them feel bad because they didn't spend time with their kids as much as they should, according to who decided that, right? But you know what? My dad has never been an entrepreneur, ever. Didn't have the mindset to work at the Canadian National for 35 years. And guess what? He was gone 3-4 days a week. He did his best. All of the time, and and honestly, I don't think I saw him more than my kids saw me during my entrepreneur life. And he was just having a job that he would come home once in a while, just complaining about, you know, like anybody else. But his goal was to, you know, make a good living and build a retirement and secure his family. That's all. You know, we all do. We all have the same goals.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, I think that about wraps up our conversation for today. So thank you guys so much for listening or for watching this. If you had any value from this conversation, please let us know below in the comments. Follow, subscribe. You know what to do. Thank you guys so much. Till next time. Take care.